The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
Dr. Ray Wally is with us for our weekly medical consultation, and we're going to discuss hay fever. What exactly is hay fever, Ray?
Hay fever is a seasonal allergic rhinitis.
Rhinitis, and what's that?
Basically runny nose, although that being said, it's not just unfortunately affecting your nose. Unfortunately, for those who get it, they will know they can get a irritation at the back of their throat when it's happening. They know they can get itchy or gritty eyes. They know they can get totally bunged up as if they have a cold. They may get a bit of a cough. And with all of that, unfortunately, it makes you feel lousy and make you feel tired and you just generally feel unwell.
Yeah, I have to admit, it's a condition that I do actually suffer from as well. It tends to be only certain times of the year though, isn't it?
Well, it is. And most people will know it's due to pollen counts. But what some people may not know, it's also due to fungal spores. And there are 30 types of pollen and there are 20 types of spores. And when you're talking pollen, you're not talking just ordinary pollen from grass. You can talk tree pollen and you've got birch pollen. For example, and there can be an overlap, unfortunately, with allergenogenic effects with, for birch, for example, with celery, pears, curry, long list of things.
Well, I'll give you another one. Flowers, particular flowers. If I walk into a room where there's lilies, I can literally almost immediately have all of those symptoms that you have described.
Definitely, unfortunately, and on top of that, it can be the effects can be augmented by local pollution, so nitrogen oxide, diesel particles, things like that. So you probably also notice when the pollution levels are high.
Yeah, and also it's our connection. If you have hay fever, are you also susceptible to things like, and again, talking from personal experience, asthma and eczema?
Well, part of our standard training as medics is to look into all of this, and that's called atopy. So you've got atopic conditions, and those atopic conditions can include hay fever, eczema, asthma, can include an allergic to penicillin as well. Doesn't mean you're going to get all of the above, but there certainly can be an overlap. And looking back into the history of this, you know, it was first documented by a guy called Marcel McKenzie in 1880, who thought it was due to related to intellectual capacity, because he noticed this was more common in urban areas, which probably was related to the pollution, as opposed to rural areas, which probably was less pollution. And equally then in the 19th century, John Bostock in the UK, 1906, wrote more about it. And, you know, subsequently we've developed more information in regard to it.
Okay. If you do have issues with hay fever, how do you manage the condition?
So basically, first of all, you should be keeping an eye on pollen counts. So you can hear it on the radio in the morning and get to know your own area. So basically, when it unfortunately happens, you should be trying to stay indoors as much as you can do. Pollen basically will happen between 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. The peak time for pollen dissemination is between those times. The best time to be outside is after rain, because obviously it dampens it down. If you're outside in a pollen, on a high pollen time, rubbing a bit of Vaseline, petroleum jelly around your nose traps the pollen particles going in there. So it's, and also basically wearing wraparound sunglasses stops it getting into your eyes. Wearing a hat, a full brim hat, can also affect you, because what happens is the pollen can deposit on your clothes. Next thing would be to wash regularly, washing your hands, because when it deposits in your hands and you touch your eyes, it can aggravate it, and effectively same with getting on your nose. Noticing on pollen high days that you shower and wash your hair when you get home, because again, the pollen is effectively going on your skin. Collecting your skin, collecting your hair, collecting on your clothes throughout the day. Make sure you're washing your bed clothes on a weekly basis in hot water. On the levels that it basically is high, keeping indoors, making sure that you have vacuum cleaners with proper HEPA filters such that you can hoover up those areas. Taking care with laundry. So if you're leaving your clothes outside, unfortunately, the laundry can pick up the stuff, can pick up the pollen. So gardening chores such as mowing the lawn, weeding, you need to do it at a time when you've got lower pollen count levels. You need to limit mucus congesting foods in the wrong person as part of the...
What are those type of foods?
Some of it can be an overlap with things like, as I stated, with, say, birch pollen. You've got celery, pears, curry, carrot, a long list. You'd have to look up some of this stuff. You're not going to remember it all. Grass, there can be an overlap with oats, can be an overlap with wheat, can be an overlap with kiwi, with weed pollen. There can be an overlap with raw carrots, curry, other things which can aggravate it, or alcohol. Unfortunately, alcohol can aggravate most medical conditions. But for example, you need to be limiting mucus congesting foods in the form of, if you unfortunately are a person who is a tendency to drink a lot of milk or take a lot of medical sort of milky produce, that can aggravate it. And certain other things like broccoli, asparagus, onions, garlic, cherries, pineapple, kiwi fruits, they obviously have an antihistamine beneficial properties. So it is very complex, which you need to basically look up. And just to let people know, I'm reading that part out because there's no way you remember all this sort of stuff.
Indeed. Okay. What about medication? A listener wants to know, is there any downside of taking a citrulline antihistamine tablet every day for hay fever?
Well, during the the drugs like cetirizine are new antihistamines, and are new antihistamines coming on the market. The old drug used to be chlorpheniramine, otherwise known as piriton. And the negative effect for, which often is the only one which works for some people, but the reason why we moved on to other modern drugs was piriton, chlorpheniramine used to be have to be taken on a regular basis in an adult, maximum six times a day. The downside was that could get make you sleepy. So the new ones were on the basis of they were once a day and they didn't make you sleepy. So on a person who's got seasonal allergic rhinitis, if you know you're going to get it, start it before the season. As I've said, in the people who've got pollen for trees, that involves maybe February. In the people who are for just grass, we're talking May, June, and July. But listening to the pollen levels, generally no, but you get to know the effects of your in your own person. In a small percentage of people, the newer ones do make you sleepy, so you've got to be careful. And that's the first line treatment. But equally, using things like cellulose nose drops, which you can get for your chemist, has been found to benefit. And when you're getting these other side effects, you're progressing on to using maybe steroid nasal inhalers or using what are called mast cell stabilizer eye drops, disodium chromoglycate. Interesting one in regard to that is this is a drug that's been around for years. Fantastic drug. And suddenly, because it's got very little profit margin, it's not available on the medical card.
What is it again?
Disodium chromoglycate. I'm not going to name the trade product because that brings me into conflict with companies. But basically, it is something which was available, now not available, only over-the-counter privately.
Listen, also, is sinus similar to hay fever? Sinus conditions?
It's the same area in the fact that that's what's filling up is your sinuses. If our skulls were solid bone, you'd be carrying them around your hands because it'd be so heavy. So what you've got are air-filled areas which allow olfactory smelling sensation and they fill up with mucus, and that's what happens with your sinuses filling up. And sinusitis is where they get infected, but in hay fever, perennial rhinitis, it's the same mucosal area which is becoming inflamed.
Listener says, hay fever sufferers should also resist the temptation to open windows on high pollen days as pollen deposits will be in the bedroom at night time. Does it affect sleep badly?
Unfortunately, if you're bunged up, yes. And basically, certainly that person's ringing in or texting in is totally 100% right. Equally, you can get air purifiers. Some have ionizers within, some don't. So they benefit. And, you know, getting to know what is precipitating your difficulties besides the pollen is very important.
Listener says a spoonful of honey every day from October to March. Does that work for people?
Certainly beneficial for your good health. I'm afraid it may help and may not help. I think it's more of a general advice rather than specific to hay fever.
Listener says, would it affect your golf? I suppose if you have hay fever that's grass related, a golf course isn't exactly the best place to be going, would it?
Probably not, but maybe there might be other reasons why his golf isn't good.
Thank you very much. We're out of time. Dr. Ray Whalley, thank you for joining us for a weekly medical consultation.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.